A Word for Today, Lionsdown's daily podcast to help you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. Nothing could matter more. This isn't to replace your personal Bible reading and prayer, but rather encourage and help you in it.
Throughout this week, we've been looking at the question, what's life all about? And we've been seeing that the world has a wide variety of theories, none of them provable, all of them, or many of them, differing completely from each other, sometimes diametrically opposed in different ways. And we've seen that philosophy can really provide no comprehensive or verifiable answer. Whether you turn to Socrates or to Sartre or to Sinatra, you don't get anything that can be proved. You just get a theory. And so, to understand what life's all about, we took the liberty of looking at the elephant in the room and really considering our condition upon Earth, the condition of all humankind upon Earth. And we considered, didn't we, that humankind is naturally ignorant. Humankind does not know where it came from, or where it's going, or why it's here. If you met somebody like that in a train or something, you would think either they were joking or that they needed help very badly. They needed taking in charge and looking after someone. Well, humankind is like that. Humankind needs help very badly. The problems that face our planet are theological problems. They're not environmental or moral. They are essentially theological. Because the disorder that characterizes our planet and the death that lies upon all humankind came about because humankind rebelled against God. Humankind chose to reject the authority of God and to grab at independent moral authority for itself. And as a result, it lost the immortal life it was once granted. And the world, which was the perfect place we all think God owes us and that we'd like to live, became the place that it is today. A world of murder and death, a world of disorder and unhappiness and sadness and suffering and sin. And all these things have come about because humankind has rejected God. And so, if we're going to consider what's life all about, we've got to make sense of why life is like as it is. We can't just be kind of Pollyannas and cherish idealistic ideas that have no reality and that cannot be seen to in any way match the experience of life on earth. And we saw that the Bible is the book to come to. That is the book that has transcended all other books in our world. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. The Bible has a transcendent quality because it is the living revelation of the living God. The God-breathed word that the living God speaks. He discloses himself in his word. And that first sentence, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, tells us that God owns everything. He is the reason for everything. He holds everyone accountable to him. And because of the rebellion of our great, 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 etc. grandparents, Adam and Eve, because of their rebellion, we are descended, every one of us is descended from them outside the Garden of Eden. We have inherited that disorder. We have inherited that curse of death that lies upon us, that renders all meaning to life ultimately futile. And that ignorance is the feature of turning away from the truth of God. Turning away from the authority of God means that you live in ignorance and disorder, and you face death. And that condition lies upon all of us. But the Bible goes on to present its marvelous gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world in order to die on a Roman cross. And he did that to save a people whom God chose from before the creation of the world. The Bible tells us actually that the cross was foreordained before the creation of the world. The cross is the means by which God displays his glory, the glory and beauty of his character to the world. And that beauty of character displayed in the self-sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died to please his Father because he loves his Father, and to save the people of his Father. That glory will be displayed in the redeemed throughout all eternity in heaven and then the new creation. And we saw how that biblical revelation is utterly compelling to anyone with an open heart who is willing to come to it and to study it. We saw too that God judges us through the Bible. We think sometimes, don't we, that we are examining God as we come to his word. But actually it's the other way around. God is examining us. And it's very important, I beg you, if you come to the word of God, do come with humble, open, respectful hearts, knowing that God is looking to the bottom of your heart as you do that. And then we saw that the Bible doesn't stop at the cross. It goes on to explain the whole picture of existence, that we live in the church age or the gospel age between the ascension and the return of Jesus Christ. And we've seen that the mission of the church is the mission that Jesus has given his people, which is to make disciples of all nations. And we've seen how there is yet very much land to possess, to use the words in Joshua 13, verse 1. The mission of the church goes on, and it has a huge mission. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And this task tells the church, firstly, that it has a great responsibility. There's no sitting back in easy chairs. And secondly, it tells those outside the church that there is an opportunity. There is yet hope. The doors aren't closed. And this is what life is all about. All humanity will be divided in those who are in the church, that is to say, who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, who have repented and believed, and those who are not, those who are outside the church. And what God does is he calls every single person to turn from independence from him and to come to him. There is yet an opportunity. But at the same time, there will be resistance. Last Sunday, we had a testimony of someone who told us how he began life as an atheist. He was raised in a family that embraced atheism. But he told us how the Bible's message, when it was explained to him by a friend at university, made complete sense to him. He could see from the Bible, yes, of course God made the world. What other explanation would there be for something that is brought into existence and that has such amazing design? And he could see, too, from the Bible that God was rightly angry with our independence and that God has shown love, mercy, and kindness through what happened on the cross. The great swap had taken place. And then that person said, very interesting, that he knew that truth intellectually to begin with, but he was unwilling to change. And then one day, something just melted his heart. It's a picture of the sovereign God coming in and changing a person's heart. So the problem was never intellectual. It was always moral. And that is the problem now. And if you're listening to this and you're not yet a Christian, I want to say this respectfully. The problem is a moral problem. There is the song called There Is No Other Name, and it just consider these words. It says, there is no other name in heaven can be found, through whom we are redeemed, through whom your grace abounds. No other name can save but Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no victory but Jesus crucified. No other cure for sin but that our Saviour died. You know, those who consider gospel truth, they often hear a voice within them shouting at them, saying, don't be crazy. Everyone will think you're mad if you believe this. If you commit to this, you're going to alienate all your friends. You're going to look very foolish within your family. You're going to lose all freedom and authority over your life. You're going to have to stop doing those sins that you're enjoying so much. And I want to say to you, please ignore that shouting voice. Instead, listen for that quiet inner witness of your conscience that will be saying, you know this is true. You know this is true. Yes, if you turn to Christ, if you repent and believe, if God regenerates your heart and gives you that gift of faith, you know that you will lose your independence, your self-rule. You will lose your freedom to sin. But instead, you'll have a wonderful Savior, kind and patient and infinitely loving, a Savior who died for you. You will have your past washed clean. You'll be reconciled to God. You'll be part of this great church-building enterprise that is the meaning, the reason for the age in which we live. You will truly know what's life all about. And you'll know, above all, that your future is secure. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are indeed calling people into your church. And we pray that we would indeed take note of that verse that says, "Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Please, would nobody turn away from this. And please, would you fill your church with love and energy to do its work that you have called it to do. There remains yet very much land to possess. Please, would that be a truth that sings in our hearts. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
A word for today, helping you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. This podcast was brought to you by Lionsdown at lionsdown.org.